This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Friday morning show with Leo on Joy 94.9. My next guest started her career as a model before moving on to various TV presenting roles, including Sale of a Century. She's a mum of three teenage boys. How does she cope? Public speaker and supporter of many charities. Good morning, Nikki Buckley.
You can say Nicoli as the little kids used to do.
Nikki Buckley, good to have you in studio. Now, it's been a bit of a mad morning. We've had our systems went down and really? Things went crazy, but it's all good. You're here. It's calm as in the storm. It's all fantastic.
Beautiful.
Now, obviously, you've had a great career over the years, but when you're growing up in high school and things, who are your influences as far as in your life goes?
Well, I guess my parents in a way.
Your mum?
Yeah, my mum most definitely. Mum's passed away now. But, you know, having fallen into the industry that I did, it wasn't something as a young girl that I looked at and thought that's what I want to do. But having said that, mum came from a background of also doing, she was more pageant modelling and things like that. So, you know, perhaps the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree after all.
I mean, because doing modelling, I think back in the day when you were doing it in the 80s, it was a different vibe.
It was a lovely vibe.
It was less focused on the body and more on the face. Am I right in saying
well,
that?
Well, no, I guess it was both because interestingly enough, when you say that, and I have a chapter on this in the book, because for me, I kind of did fall into the modelling side of things, but I actually suffered really badly from bad skin as a teenager. Oh. So I had, you know, the little pimples all over the face and I had cystic acne, so quite bad. Rather than let that kind of define me and say, well, I can't do this industry because, you know, of these perceived flaws or whatever, I actually had quite a strong athletic body, so I focused more on the body side, and so I actually was a body model for a lot of my earlier years, doing a lot of lingerie, swimwear, yeah, so kind of fell into it that way. So when I say it was different to me, I just had such lovely times with my girlfriends, and we're talking 30 years ago, and I still catch up with those girls now. So, you know, you have that idea of it being such a bitchy, catty, cutthroat industry, and it wasn't like that for us. We had fun, and, you know, kind of, you might all go for a commercial casting and you don't get it, but the other girl gets it, and you kind of think, oh, well, that's all right because she needs it this month, whatever. You know, it sounds a bit too cushy, but it was like that, and we're still all together now. And
more like a family. And
big family. And, yeah. And we, you know, we used to do, you know, these parades for Maya and travel around to all the shopping centre things on a bus, you know, and we would just have a ball. And these are the same girls that I still catch up with, you know, during the year we get together and reminisce, and it's 30 years.
In your new book, you've focused on a campaign for Great Keppel Island,
yeah,
which is, back in the day, was an amazing campaign that you were part of. There were three other models with you, great photo shoot. Also, some topless shots were in a sealed section in Clio. I love the sealed sections in Clio and Penthouse.
Do they still have them?
I don't think so, Nikki.
No. But it's all out there now, isn't it? You just got to click a button on the internet.
You know? But during those topless shots, what was the conversation with your parents at that time?
Yeah, good point. That was very early in my modelling, and I was probably 18 or 19. It was probably within the first 12 months. And there was a casting call for to do a shoot for Great Keppel Island. The idea would be you'd be, you know, mucking around with, you know, a bunch of boys and girls on the beach and having fun like you do. You do have to be prepared to be topless because, as much as there was a very public campaign that went out, there was also this bit where they were doing a little bit more risque, and that would end up in the sealed section of Penthouse and Playboy. And I remember asking Mum and Dad, what do you think? And they said, well, what's the diff? Because you go topless on the beach all the time. What's the diff? And I'm like, well, exactly. So I didn't have a problem with it. They didn't have a problem with it. And I did the shoot. And it did end up being one of the most, you know, iconic advertising campaigns of the 80s. So it was. You know, fabulous.
The thing is, I guess back then there was no internet.
No.
So you had to buy the magazine to get the photographs. When in these days, if that happened, it's out there everywhere straight away.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a different kettle of fish.
Different kettle of fish entirely. I do remember being told that the magazines of Penthouse and Clio did sell out that month.
Let's move on.
Nothing too risque, trust me.
Let's move on to your TV career. I mean, you began co-hosting with Blind Date, is that right?
Yeah.
In the 80s. And then, of course, moving on to Sale of a Century, which is a massive coup for you because before you, there were so many other ladies.
Amazing women.
And then Amazing Woman. And how did you get that gig? And what was the audition process like for you?
So it started out with me modelling on Sale of the Century. So that kind of followed through from my modelling gigs, and I ended up being a model on Sale, which was, you know, a normal progression kind of thing. When the Grundy organisation produced Sale of the Century, they also produced Blind Date, or and used to be called Perfect Match. So they...
Oh, I just love that show.
they invited me in for an audition. And I got that job. So I got the role on Blind Date. And I was only there for about 6 months, and I was probably a bit reserved, and it was a bit of a, you know, a bit of a flirtatious kind of role, and I was a little bit straight-laced. And so that didn't last that long, but Grundy's invited me back onto Sale to model, and having had a taste of that, I really enjoyed that role. So I thought, I like that, I need to work on this, you know, I need to come out of my shell a bit more. And so I started acting classes, was in a few plays and started doing voice work, because I thought, okay, if I want this, if I enjoy this, I need to be well prepared for next time if an opportunity does come up. And the next opportunity came by the way of auditioning for it to be weather presenter over the summer, which I got that job. And then at the same time, they were auditioning for a new co-host for Glenn. So I got a gig at a tryout for that.
Your husband was also in Sale of the Century as a model.
And he was there first. So people think we met on Sale.
There you go. But no, people.
Yeah. It was at Flinders Street
the
Station,
mowing.
Just down the road.
Oh, fantastic. Mm. Friday morning show with Leo. And my special guest this morning on the show is Ms. Nikki Buckley. For the break, we're talking about your Sale of the Century gig, which is a massive national exposure all over the country. And during that time, you fell pregnant. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, we cannot have a pregnant lady on TV.
Oh no.
Back in the day, that was a big no-no. Well, according to the press and people, you got a hell of a time back then.
I got slammed. I got trolled.
And now it's the norm because, I mean, Beck Judd was doing the weather and she was pregnant. And that must have been hard for you, but also at the same time, your experience paved the way for these girls today.
Yes, it did. And at the time, people were kind of saying, that or, you know, straight after when things had changed. And back then I used to go, no, I haven't done anything. I just wanted to work, which is basically, you know, what I did. It came about because my role on Sale was, you know, part of it was the glamorous, you know, co-host, and every night you'd get dressed up in a glamorous outfit. And when I was pregnant, I never thought for an instant that I would need to stop. But there was no maternity wear that was acceptable.
Flattering.
There was nothing. It was neck to knee. It was caftan. It was cover yourself up. And it was horrible. And so we just kind of went, oh, well, there's nothing there. So we'll just keep wearing the next size up kind of thing in you know, what's out there. And people took offence to being able to see the belly, you know, the baby growing, and you know, back then it was like, that's gross, and you should be taking, you know, people were saying I should be taken off air until I'd had the baby, or they should build something for me to stand behind so that, you know, it's like just a talking head.
That was an awful time for you because obviously the pressure being on TV and with that as well. But I guess back then there was no social media, but it was still hard.
Yeah.
And I guess these days, if they happen these days, the whole social media thing for young girls especially, and with their body image and, you know, finding themselves and being themselves, is really difficult. And your new book does focus on that. It does focus on young girls, you know, being yourselves, accepting you for who you are.
Exactly.
Flaws and all.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Thank you. You've taken the words right out of my book. Absolutely, because, yes, it is a different age now. And, you know, I've only just kind of gotten on board with all these things recently. I've had to come to terms with, doing Instagram and Facebook and that. And it's something that, you know, my children can make me feel like I can't teach them anything because I don't understand. It's all their era and they're teaching me. But what I can teach them is, you know, is resilience and is about staying true to yourself and focusing on, you know, the magnificence of who you are as an individual, so that all these other outside influences that can really cut you down, you know, hopefully can become a little bit like water off a duck's back, because, you know what, I know who I am, I know what I believe in, so I don't care what you say, or I don't care what, you know, of course we care about other people's opinions, but, you know, when you're slammed, or, you know, it's so easy to slam people now on, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of thing, it's so important to stay true and teach the young kids resilience.
You're a mum of three teenage boys, 12 to 17, is that right?
Yeah.
So how do you cope with that?
Oh.
And how have you made sure that you instill in your boys, you know, respect and or that there's good old-fashioned values?
I demand it. I demand it of
them.
You know, my husband and I talk about those values all the time with them. There's always an opportunity to talk about these things with your children. You know, sometimes it makes them uncomfortable, you know, not having, you know, daughters, so they don't have sisters. But I, you know, my passion is, you know, the health, happiness and well-being of women, of course, of men and my boys as well. But, you know, so I'm always talking to them. You know, the older boys are starting to date, and so I'm always instilling in them, you know, the values of respect, you know, for women. And look, part of my beef growing up was that I grew up in a household with four brothers. I have a sister, but she was born on my 13th birthday. So, you know, up until then, you know, it was the boys, and it was different sets of rules for boys and girls. And I, you know, so that kind of got me going through my whole life of trying to, you know, teach them, you know, equality with women. And, you know, it's not just my role to cook and clean for you boys, you know, you can pitch in and all that kind of thing as well. But I'm forever barking at them about, you know, respect for all people, for, you know, for, you know, I'm always the one that says, you know, they talk about someone at school and I go, yeah, you know, if there's a problem, but there must be something going on at home. So just, you know, please be their friend, because you don't know what's happening behind the scenes. It's hard for people to, you know, young people that are impressionable to, you know, to look at someone else who might, you know, there's a lot of aesthetic beauty, I guess, and, you know, wanting to look like them or be like them. But it's, you know, and it's the age old saying, it is what is on the inside, and you have to work on your own, you know, inner health and happiness and peace, and just be the best person you can be, because everyone's amazing in their own way, and we all know that when we connect with people, that you connect on different things. And it's just about, you know, we love connecting with someone who's rock solid, who believes in who they are, and, you know, is not going to get thrown off kilter by someone, you know, saying something about them. And you know, so we just all need to work on that ourselves to make us better. When we're happy, everyone else around us is happy.
Being in the public eye is also a great opportunity for you to just give back, and you're quite involved with some various charities, aren't you?
Yeah, along the ways, you know, and I think you do get asked, you know, when you are in the public eye to come on board for, you know, all kinds of things, and I think that, you know, quite often there is, you know, personal needs behind what you do, you know, and you know, I've been in the past involved with the Asthma Foundation a lot, because Murray, my husband, lost his brother to asthma, and my mum, you know, died of ovarian cancer. So I've just recently been ovarian ambassador for National Prevention Week with Prevention Magazine. And yeah, so I mean, it is an opportunity to give back, but you don't need to be, you know, in the public eye to get on board and exactly. support charities.
Exactly right. Now, of course, the book is on sale now. It is called A Memoir, An Empowering Story of Life, Love and What's Important. Great title.
Thank you.
And obviously the book features some great photos from your career.
Yes.
As well. And also some great tips for young people, young girls especially.
Yeah, look, and, you know, women in general. And it's, you know, it's not to leave out the men, because I'm, you know, I've got men surrounding my beautiful life. You know, but, you know, just yeah, I think that, you know, the stronger messages there are kind of, you know, giving things a go, feeling the fear and doing it anyway, and also staying true to yourself, you know, no matter what age. But my idea was kind of bringing it back to the youth and empowering them young, so that as they move through the ages and they get to my age, that if they've been able to follow those things, then they find themselves, you know, 40, 50, whatever, you know, having a good direction of where they're going, because they're strong in who they are.
Nikki Buckley, thank you so much for coming in this morning to the Joy Studios. Of course, A Memoir from Nikki Buckley is available from all good bookstores right now.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.